Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Okay, this, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm holding in my hand.
Yes.
Millennial Ben. This is called a newspaper.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Okay?
That is crazy.
This is the, I still get the Sunday.
Okay, boomer.
Denver Post.
It's amazing.
For this kind of publicity, the Denver Post should be giving me a free subscription because it's a dying industry, the newspaper industry. But I still am loyal. I still get the Sunday paper.
Okay.
Not because I'm old, but because I grew up with newspapers.
Do you get up Sunday morning, like send the dog out to pick up the paper?
I don't have a dog.
You send your kid out to pick up the paper. You pour yourself a cup of coffee. Maybe have like a bathrobe on and a pipe. And you're like, daddy's going to read
the
paper now.
Bathrobe, loosely tied.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Getting all comfortable. When the weather's warm, sitting out there on the patio as the neighbors walk by. Hey. Mm-hmm. How you doing, neighbor?
How you doing? Just reading the paper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Reading the paper.
All right.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
So, in this Sunday paper, Ryan O'Halloran, who does a fine job covering the NFL and the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
Headline. Broncos should make move for Vikes Diggs. And I just started nodding. And I started smiling because that is what I would like to see the Broncos do. Still want to see them tap into this deep wide receiver pool that's out there.
Okay.
But they need themselves a number two to go along with Cortland Sutton. We just had Mike Kliss on talking about he believes that the Broncos' number one mission this offseason is to get weapons for Drew Lock. Here is somebody, and I'm going to read from the newspaper.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Read it to me.
Diggs has consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, caught 102 passes in 2018, had a 17.9-yard-per-catch average last year, second best among receivers with at least 60 catches.
Mm-hmm.
He's under contract for 4 more years, and his cap numbers are more than team-friendly, and he's still only 26 years old. Come on now. Come on. I tried to make the case for Diggs last week, and you shot me down because you talked to some people in the Vikings organization, and you came away with the sense that Diggs is a bad apple. Come on. I'm coming back after you again, man. I'm bringing the fight to you one more time.
And there's no.
I'm going to try to chip away at you. Body blows.
All right. There's no question about Diggs' talent. He's got great talent. If you think that talent is the only thing that matters, then knock yourself out. He's a very talented guy. I know one thing. He doesn't think he's the number two receiver.
Yeah. So?
Well, you said you bring him in here as the number two.
Yeah.
He's not coming here as the number two.
All right. Well, if you go out and draft a receiver at number 15, like so many people want the Broncos to do, what do you think that receiver's going to strut into town thinking?
He's
the number one.
No, he's not.
Really?
No way.
If you are
as a rookie? Yeah, no. It takes you a while. You got to produce here before all of a sudden you drink the diva juice. Like there's a certain amount of humility that comes with being a rookie, and then all of a sudden, I don't know what happens to receivers, but they have some success and all of a sudden they become, Odell Beckham Jr. wasn't a diva as a rookie. He made one unbelievable catch and the next thing you know, they gave him the diva juice and I don't know at what point you drink the diva juice. I don't know when that happens to you. But you don't come in as a rookie having consumed the diva juice. That happens later in life. I'm just, hey, listen.
Why are you so bothered that he's a diva? I mean, newsflash, receivers, they're divas. A lot of them are. Who cares?
Not all of them.
Not all of them, but this notion that, you know, it's like a selfish baseball player. Great. I don't care if a baseball player is obsessed with his stats. If he puts up good stats, it's for the good of the baseball team. If I got a receiver who is determined to go out and produce and put up numbers in the long run, that helps my team.
It helps your team if he's putting up numbers and you're targeting. What happens when all of a sudden he becomes divisive because they're taking him out of the game plan? And then he is throwing a fit on the sidelines and he is fighting with coaches and he is like, that is never a good thing because then it makes the quarterback feel like I got to at least fit something in there. I got to push it to him. He's whining so much and crying so much.
You know what my simple answer is to that?
What?
The Denver Broncos last year averaged 17.6 points per game. Ever since that guy Manning left town, this is an offense that has struggled to score somewhere between 17 and 21 points per game. At this point, I'll take my chances. Seriously, I'll take my chances. I will bet more on the talent, and I'll worry less about, for now, the diva nature of okay, what a guy like Diggs might bring. I'm tired of scoring. I'm tired of, you know, every week tuning into NFL games and seeing, you know, teams put up these glossy offensive numbers and see this team, you know, struggling, straining, huffing and puffing to get to, you know, 21 points.
I get it. I think you answered your own question in your statement, though. Since Peyton Manning. Did Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas and whoever else, did they make Peyton Manning put up glorious numbers and score, or did he make them?
He made them.
Okay. So Drew Locke has got to be a difference.
Maybe. Eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and thank you for making my point, while Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders and Wes Welker, all these guys, we're all basically playing together. There was more than enough to go around. Everybody got fed. Everybody got a taste. Everybody was happy. Everybody put up numbers. Everybody got paid.
Demaryius
Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders both got paid.
And nobody ever complained because you know why? Because Peyton Manning wouldn't throw you the ball ever again. You ever watch him out in practice? Dog cuss one of those receivers for making his cut at 12 instead of 10?
Well, then
one thing about Peyton Manning now, he could wear you out. He could wear you out. But one thing about him, those dudes never complained about not getting the ball because they knew if they complained, he'd shut them out for a whole game.
Well,
what
have we always heard about what the Patriots were able to do over these last 20 years? They were able to bring in some bad apples and they were able to absorb them because they had such a strong structure around them, right?
Right.
Well, if the Broncos are ever going to get back to being a Super Bowl contender, they're going to have that structure in place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be able to absorb a few bad apples and bet on the production that's going to come with that bad apple.
Right.
And if Diggs is that bad apple, fine. If you put the proper structure in place, then it won't be a problem. And guess what? If you don't put the proper structure in place and Diggs becomes a problem, you're screwed anyways.
Right.
So why not take the gamble?
I'm just saying, what is offensively, what is that structure right now? Pretty much a rookie quarterback, a young running back, an offensive line that just is, come on now. Dalton Reisner is your big leader. You might have 4/5 of your offensive line change. Cortland Sutton just finished his second year. Noah Fant, is still coming off his rookie year. Pretty good rookie year, but got a lot of growth. I mean, come on. I mean, they've got a bunch of children. and a bunch of kids.
Hi, is that your daughter?
I got a text. Evan's sitting on the patio with a loose robe. And the texter said,
to linger.
Is that your daughter? LOL.
Kid looks like quite the hockey player. Can I smell his equipment?
Just loitering around hockey rink.
Just the moment I said it, both times, I'm just like, what the heck?
Well, yeah. Oh, and by the way, for all the people who are like, well, you know, you're going to have to give up a number one to get Diggs. No, you're not.
No, yeah. No,
it'd probably be like a third round pick, which, and the Broncos have 12 picks, okay? Right. They had excess pick. They can't use all the picks they have. They right. have to trade them
you're
somehow.
You're going to have to give probably a second or third rounder.
Do it. For a guy with that kind of production, and by the way, 4 more years already on his contract, I think it's a fantastic move to make. I'm telling you.
Holding the newspaper.
All right.
Holding this newspaper empowered me. All right. Cecil Lammy joins us next from the Combine. He's coming up.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.
All right, let's head off to Indy. The Combine picking up speed, and our very own Cecil Lammy from 1043thefan.com is there. He's excited. We've got texters telling us you were caught taking a selfie behind Mike Kliss on 9 News.
Oh, yeah.
That
was not done on purpose, by the way. I was standing at the podium waiting for Chatfield Charger Dalton Keene, Virginia Tech tight end, who played football with my son. They were quarterbacks together at Chatfield. I was waiting for Dalton to show up, and I happened to take a selfie and then noticed Kliss was doing a hit. So, you know, whatever is whatever. A guilty is charged, right?
All right, so this Joe Burrow hand size thing, 9 inches. It's like one of the smallest hands ever, and you know, there's all kinds of stats out there and analytics to suggest that the smaller the hand size, the worse career you're gonna have. Is there anything to this, or is this just silly combine stuff?
Well, you know what small hand size means, fellas, am I right? Yeah, it means small gloves. This is ridiculous. You know, I look at Joe Burrow on the film. You know, we are at the ridiculous portion of the pre-draft process where it's like hand size and measurements and 40 times. Like, yeah, put on the film. You're going to see a very accurate passer, a guy that takes care of the football, a guy who, you know, deep passes fail a little bit, but that doesn't have anything to do with hand size. That's just more his arm strength. You know, he doesn't have a rocket arm. Big deal. Joe Burrow has incredible pass placement. Now, the buzz here in Indy just happened moments ago. Burrow's saying two things. One, he's not working out. He's going to do medical checks and interviews. That's it. I believe that's a mistake. I can get into that a little bit later. And then two, Joe Burrow saying, of course he'd play for Cincinnati. Of course he'd, you know, he wants to be the number one pick. He'll show up and play, and he wants to go home for dinner since he lives close to Cincinnati and, you know, Mr. Football in Ohio, all those sorts of things. But to me, the big thing with Burrow is, okay, I understand resting on your film, but you didn't compete at the Senior Bowl. That's fine. That's understandable. But not competing here, you know, some that might rub some in the scouting community the wrong way. Again, still, he's number one pick. He's the greatest player ever in the history of ever. Whatever. But I still think it's a mistake that he's not throwing here in Indy, because then people will start saying, well, what is he afraid of? Is he afraid of that radar gun? Is that arm, you know, 51 miles an hour instead of being 55 miles an hour on a gun? Like, that's what people are now starting to talk about. Yes, Burrow still number one pick, all those sorts of things. But if I was advising him, I would say, yeah, go ahead and throw an Indy. Go ahead and do that. And, you know, Burrow's not going to do that. So I think that's more controversial than anything to do with hand size, which is just ridiculous.
Well, I think, though, on the flip side of that, Cecil, if he's already the number one pick without working out and you're going to go do your own, you know, pro day or whatever, and, you know, the only thing that throwing at the combine could do is expose you a little bit, maybe hurt you from that standpoint. But listen, man, I mean, he can just say, hey, look at the film. Like 60 touchdowns. Now what?
You know, right. I mean, I think that's kind of where he's going. And yeah, some of the hand size stuff and all that, you know, all the tangible stuff that, you know, the measures of athleticism is a little bit ridiculous. All I know is that guy was deadly accurate and he put the ball where it needed to be.
Right, and that's the thing. 74% completion against man coverage and 1,400 yards against man last year, which is very rare for a college quarterback, as you know, Stink, because those guys just beat up on zone coverage all day. But he threw against man. He threw well against man. He's got that pass placement. Here's where I would counter that, and I love this back and forth that we have, because here's what it is. Justin Herbert competed at the Senior Bowl, had a great week at the Senior Bowl. Justin Herbert, to what I know, I think he's talking right now, but is going to compete here at the Combine. And Herbert might position himself in line to be considered by Cincinnati instead. So while, you know, Joe Burrow is a 99% lock or 95% or 75% or whatever you want to say, he's not a 100% lock for that number one overall pick. And a guy like Herbert, he's got to be grinning from ear to ear, because every time he's showing up, he's competing. Burrow's not, and Herbert is putting himself in that conversation.
Okay. But, and it speaks to, there's value in the combine, but you're right. Some of the absurdity of the combine. What did I see? Brandon Allen, our man, the gamer, Allentown.
Yeah, had hands massage.
He had a hand massage. He got hand massage treatments before these measurements to try to make his hands larger.
Yeah, Jared Goff did that too. At least the thing with Joe Burrow, which is really nice, is that he's got a sense of humor about this ridiculousness that is the hand size thing. Because when Jared Goff was here, I remember talking to him at the combine. He was ticked off anytime anybody brought up. He's like, I threw a lot of touchdowns with those small hands. Like, he's that your guy in the Whopper commercial with those tiny hands.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Jared Goff really, like, took offense to it, which is like, okay, what's your problem there? Joe Burrow's just having fun with it. So I like that sort of attitude from the young passer.
What's on the agenda? What's on the Broncos' radar for today? What's the most important thing that can go down today for the Broncos?
Yeah, what's the most important thing is, well, John Elway's got competition committee meetings. We're supposed to talk to him at noon Eastern time, but I've been told that might be like noon to four. Somewhere it's like a cable guy window, right? Like, and somewhere between noon to four, we'll be talking about John Elway. And then Vic Fangio talking at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So those are the two big things. But we have quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, coaches, and GMs all talking today. So this is a monster work day at the scouting combine, and the Broncos, you know, come out and Vic Fangio is going to be talking at the same time as Andy Reid. So it's probably going to be a smaller crowd, maybe, you know, some better answers, some better questions for Vic Fangio. Cause here at the combine, we get some really stupid questions from time to time, but we'll see what the Broncos front office and coach have to say today.
Yesterday, you wrote a piece on 104.3 The Fan, from the scouting combine about the potential of Marcus Mariota being a backup quarterback here.
Yes.
One, you know, John doesn't seem, he has an aversion for paying guys as backup quarterbacks, but give me some insight into why you think that might be a possibility.
Yeah, and what's interesting, Stink, and thank you for bringing that up, because I talked to my Titans guys last night about it and about Marcus, and I was told he's not really at that part where he is ready to be a backup. So I was like, that's fine. He's not going to get any sort of competition here in Denver. Like, he's not coming to Denver to compete. So, in fact, my idea of him being a backup quarterback, if Marcus would accept that, one, he's a good teammate. Everybody tells me that. He's great in the building. He didn't throw a fit when Ryan Tannehill took over. After that Broncos game, by the way, Marcus Mariota is, you know, more athletic, got a better arm, and not the just stick in the mud that Joe Flacco is. So it kind of makes sense. Got a lot of starting experience. And is more ready than, you know, let's say Brett Rippon, somebody like that, or you bring back Brandon Allen. Like, Mariota has that starting experience. But talking to people that work for the Titans, I've been told that Marcus Mariota is not at that point. So that's fine, but that doesn't mean he's going to be a fit in Denver. So my idea was cool, but then digging further into Mariota, it sounds like he wants to compete somewhere. I think that's crazy. I don't think he'll get the opportunity to do that. He's not Andy Dalton, right? He's not that type of guy. But it seems like Mariota might try to find himself a shot at a starting job somewhere, and that's not Denver.
All right, great work for the combine. Keep it up all week. We're visiting with Cecil each and every day. Thank you, Cecil.
Be good, fellas.
All right, Cecil Lammy, live from the combine.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
Burrow on Twitter yesterday, considering retirement after I was informed the football will be slipping out of my tiny hands. Please keep me in your thoughts. By the way, some guy named Mahomes also responded on Twitter. My small hands are doing all right so far. I believe in you. I think Mahomes was like at 9 1/4.
9 1/4.
But you know how the combine, they have, you know, a stat. I mean, these are all about the stats, right? The underwear Olympics. So apparently, over the past 10 years, a mere 3 quarterbacks with 9-inch hands have attempted more than 300 passes. Jared Goff, Ryan Tannehill, and Chad Henne. During that span, none of them has a total QBR above 55.
Well, there it is. He's destined to be average.
Yep.
Or below average. It might be destined to be below average just because you're going to Cincinnati.
But at least he makes jokes about his small hands, just like I joke about when my sausage fingers.
Yeah.
I joke about it.
Or your giant head.
That's right.
Or your portly body.
That's right. You can't get at me.
Or your mom, Gene.
You just can't get at me. You just can't do it.
No.
Nice try. Four down territory coming up next.
This is four down territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal foul, 69. Offense. He was giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arms.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Be prepared. First down.
Mahomes. Gets away from the initial wave, buys time, and throws it. Denver claims they've got it with Justin Simmons, and they do. Picked off by the Broncos.
CBS there with the call. Justin Simmons expects to be franchise tagged. He doesn't have a problem with it. The understanding is that he and the Broncos want to work out a long-term deal, and this just buys both sides a little bit more time. I'm on board with it. I like Justin Simmons, but I have to admit my man Stokely put a little bit of a kernel of doubt in the back of my mind when he started going on about how he does not believe that Simmons is worth top 5 or top 10 safety money. He even said that re-signing Connor McGovern is more of a priority. Is Simmons... Yeah, I always talk about how... Hey, look, even on bad teams, somebody has to put up numbers. That also goes for defense. Somebody's out there playing. Somebody's out there playing all the snaps. Somebody's making tackles. Somebody's coming up with, you know, the occasional interception and
right.
You know, fumble recovery. Is it possible Simmons is that kind of guy? Just an average player, a good player, but not a great player, who looks better on an average team?
I think he's still a top notch safety in the league. I mean, I don't put him probably. I mean, if I had to go through it, I probably wouldn't put him in my top 5. But I think he's in the top 10. I mean, I think he's a really good young player, and he's youthful. He's done it the right way. He's great in the community. Like all those things factor in. Now, I will tell you, there was a time there where Kareem Jackson to me was playing just lights out. I mean, he was really really good. After about the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, 5 weeks of the season, his middle of the season up until he got suspended, he was outstanding. And I think he was probably, if you said, hey, production wise and everything wise, you know, the way that Kareem Jackson is filling the running lanes and doing those things coming down the alley, I think I would have put him above Justin Simmons. But Justin Simmons is, what, 4 years into it? I mean, yeah, you're going to have to pay him. He's a good player. He's a really good player.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
I have these tiny hands. They're not that tiny. They are that tiny. And that double cheeseburger, it's so big. It's going to make them look even tinier. What if I hold it for you?
Joe Burrow has small hands.
Oh, no.
Measured at 9 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the recent history in the NFL, quarterbacks with small hands, there aren't very many successful ones in the league with 9-inch hands. Now,
right.
9 1/4
right.
is different. Patrick Mahomes has 9 1/4, and he seems to be doing just fine.
Showtime!
Look, I can't imagine this is going to be a thing after the guy just came off it was the greatest college football season ever put forth by a quarterback. But I don't know.
The combine, analytics, groupthink, all that stuff. Could this actually cause Joe Burrow to slip?
No. No. I mean, there are some teams that are dumb enough to be like, wouldn't be on my board with those tiny little hands. Come on. I mean, hey, 60 touchdowns. 60 touchdowns. I mean, I think it's ludicrous. Although, I did see something that bothered me yesterday. All right? Because I was looking at quarterback hand sizes and stuff.
You were?
Yes. Yes, with the Joe Burrow news. So, and they had a list of quarterbacks. I just kind of came across it. And a couple different times they had 9 4/8. Isn't that 9.5?
That's 9.5.
Why would you go 4/8 on?
Oh my God, really? Somebody put that up there, 9 4/8?
Yes.
What's that term we learned when we're in school? What do you do to fractions to get them down to its most basic common denominator?
Common denominator, right?
What is it?
You divide by two.
Yeah, I know, but what do you call it when you're
you gotta break it down to its lowest common denominator?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. There's another term for it. Math teachers out there, help us.
There's another term for that?
Well, there's a term. Is that what you're supposed to do to the fractions to get it down to its lowest common denominator?
You're supposed to...
Something to the fractions. What are you supposed to do to the fractions?
You reduce the fractions.
No, that's
you
not
You shrink the fractions.
No.
You make the fractions smaller.
No, there's a term.
You rub some Beetlejuice stuff on its head. You say Beetlejuice 3 times, and it magically shrinks.
You know, they're making another Beetlejuice.
Oh, my gosh.
20 some years after the last one. I assume Michael Keaton's going to be in it. Should be.
I love Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Where were we? Next in Fort Down territory.
Third down. Dak has to understand and maybe take another perspective. The perspective may not be all the money that you get. It may be how much of the money you're willing to leave on the table, because the Cowboys is a marketable organization. Instead of taking 35, would you take 28 and leave some for Amari and pick up the other 35 through endorsements?
Simplify.
Yeah.
That was the, remember, you'd get the homework assignment. It was simplify these fractions.
Mm. Simplify.
So it would say, you know, 4/16. What is that?
Well, that would be, you'd divide by 4, right?
Right.
So it would be a quarter.
1/4, right.
1/4.
Look at you. Still able to slay those basic fractions, aren't you?
Simplify yourself.
That was Emmitt Smith talking about Dak Prescott. The Cowboys say they,
That was Emmitt Smith?
That was Emmitt Smith. They do not want to tag Dak Prescott. They are going
to... Isn't it funny how easy it is to spend other people's money? Did Emmitt Smith decide to take less and just work the end of it on, I'll take less than I'm worth as the best running back in football, and I'll just make it up on endorsement deals just because I love you, Jerry? Did he do that when he was playing? Because I distinctly remember him holding out.
He did hold out.
Yeah.
Remember he held out like for four games and they went 2-2, or the first 2 games they went 0-2. And there was all this panic.
0-2,
and then they came back and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, come on. Like, you should take less and just make up. So, $28 million less $35 million is, last time I checked, that's like $7 million he wants to take less and hope to make it up on marketing campaigns. That's just dumb.
But it is telling, though. You can tell that the Cowboys like Dak, but they don't love Dak. Like the
like
Chiefs,
Beyonce, they like don't want to put a ring on it, right?
Right. Like
yeah.
The Chiefs clearly love Mahomes. They're going to get, everybody knows the deal's coming. There's a new deal coming. But what does it say in a time in which Jared Goff, you get a deal. Wentz, you get a deal. All these quarterbacks are getting paid. And yet the Cowboys seem to be reluctant on Dak.
I think that, though, that's be as fiscally responsible as possible. I think the Rams are a case study in, do you overpay a guy expecting him to continue to advance? I mean, look at what happened with not only Goff having an off year last year after a Super Bowl run, but also Todd Gurley having I think that's a cautionary tale a little bit, Mike.
So it's either reducing fractions or simplifying fractions is basically what we're talking about here.
Reducing.
Reducing.
Did I say reducing?
I think I did say reducing.
Did you say reducing?
I believe I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
It's third and long.
Actually, Scott said it in my ear, and then I said
the gang is here.
Third and long, we're going to punt. Four down territory, bring it to you each and every morning at 7:30. I do want to get to our fourth down story, because apparently if you want Tom Brady, you're going to have to do this. We'll tell you what that is, as well as we want to hear from the peeps. We'll get to your text on the RamosLaw.com text line coming up next. We didn't get to this story in four down territory. Can I get a rewind there?
Can I get a rewind? Can I do that again?
We did not get to this story in four down territory because Mark was rather long-winded.
Oh, that's the reason.
Over the first three downs.
Uh-huh.
So the fourth down story was this. Apparently, wherever Tom Brady goes, he wants a two-year guaranteed deal.
Yeah.
2 years. Guaranteed.
I think he's earned it.
Guaranteed. Really? So you think at age... What? This is going to be his age 43?
Well, he turned 43 in
43.
August.
43. He'll turn 43.
I love Tom Brady!
Like, I don't know when his birthday is.
Good point.
I think he turns 43 in August.
Who am I talking to here?
Maybe we should Google search that.
Don't you send him flowers every birthday?
Yes, I do.
Tom Brady will be, 43 on August 3rd.
August 3rd.
So you're telling me that at age 43 and age 44, a team should be, and at age 44, a team should be guaranteeing him minimum, probably, of $30 million.
So let me ask you this.
So if you're the Patriots, the Chargers, the Raiders. You're willing to go there.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. Maybe not the Patriots.
Yes, I can't see. If that's
dude, if you're the Chargers and you can't sell out Carson 30,000 seat stadium and you need PSLs and you need to sell tickets and you know Tom Brady's going to be there for the next 2 years from a business standpoint, of course you'll sign. 60 million is nothing. Like, 60 million, like, oh, yes, please. Same with the Raiders, with the new stadium.
And the Oakland Raiders are no more.
I think it's just, I think that's spending pennies to make dollars in the long run. So I'm just not talking about, hey, productivity and what is he going to become and how well will he play at 44? I don't care. He's Tom freaking Brady. Like, you're going to sell tickets. Your stadium's going to be packed. People want to see it. He's handsome.
Yeah, you're right. The Patriots won't do that. You're right. They won't.
The Patriots.
But you're right. No. You make a very good point. I don't.
Absolutely.
I think he still has at least another year of good football left in him. I'm not ready to go to great football, but good football in him.
Yeah.
But we do know that when the decline comes, it's going to be rather quick and precipitous.
It's a great word.
Isn't it?
Precipitous.
But you're right. For a team like the Chargers, you're basically paying for good play for that first year.
Right.
And that second year is more than offset by the amount of tickets, the amount of jerseys, and all that stuff that you sell.
I mean, for the Chargers, let's face it. I mean, seriously. Do you think you're going to sell out all your, personal seat licenses and all that stuff with the Tyrod Taylor era coming to the Chargers? Here we go. Let's scramble around and make some plays. Or Tom Brady sauntering in there on a white steed. Just coming in like that dude that does all the Old Spice commercials, shirtless, on the steed. What's that guy's name?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
I know him.
I think he's on Conan, isn't he? Isn't he one of Conan's sidekicks?
I do not know.
I think
but
so.
Is he a Muhammad? Isaiah Mustafa, that's right.
Anyway.
There he is. Isaiah Mustafa. Should we call him? Go call him? Talk about the...
No.
Okay, let's just text him and see if this is still him.
What are you going to text him?
just say, hey, brother, I like your last, your new, Old Spice commercial. I'll do it. I'll voice text.
You have a voice text?
Hey, brother, love your new Old Spice commercial. Hope you're doing well. It's good. That's general, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Boom. You know, your attempt at, name dropping.
I don't even know the guy's name.
Would be even more impressive.
If I knew the name?
If The Rock had responded to your most recent. Well, I don't know how much of his.
We're not
going to
talk about it, but.
No, how much. I don't know how much of, like, how much he's controlling of his, you know, social media feed. He responded the last time I texted him. So he texted me back. He said, yeah, please lose this number. No, no, it wasn't that, Scott. No, he did text me back, but you know, I don't know that he's doing all his social media feed.
Texter asks, are you guys going to address D-Mac railing against you guys for supposedly not understanding fifth-year options?
Oh, my Lord, have mercy.
Oh, God, here we go again with the fifth-year option.
It's us that doesn't understand how football works.
So,
okay.
So the only two quarterbacks since the fifth-year option that went into play that have had their fifth-year options exercised were Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota.
Right.
And you know why those two teams used the fifth-year option? Because they pretty much knew by that point that these guys weren't the answer, but they had invested so much money into them, and they were hoping against hope that maybe, just maybe, the light bulb will go on in the fifth year, so they brought him back for the fifth year. The fact remains, if you are convinced that you've got the guy, these quarterbacks never come close to their fifth year.
Right. Let me ask you this question.
And in the case of Drew Locke.
Right.
Okay. In the case of Drew Locke, if the Broncos are convinced that this is the guy, then they'll have no problem ripping up his rookie contract and giving him a new contract. They won't need, put it this way, they are not going to feel hamstrung by not having that fifth year option available to them.
The fifth-year option is only for guys who aren't good.
Right.
That's what it's for.
That's what it's for.
So if you're going into the fifth year, you already know, you've already made your determination that that's not your quarterback. Here's the deal.
You think, okay, let me ask you. Yeah, go ahead.
You think Patrick Mahomes is going to hit his fifth year?
Of course not.
Got to have a fifth year just in case, right? I mean, it's ludicrous. It's stupid.
Well,
by the way, in this next collective bargaining agreement, you think they're going to have fifth-year options? You think they're going to have five-year contracts for rookie deals? By the way, I advised the Players Association, Demora Smith, you're crazy to sign those rookie deals. You're absolutely crazy. You're nuts to go 5 years. You're punishing guys who haven't even been in the league yet. That's going to be part of this next collective bargaining agreement that doesn't exist. Come on. If you're a running back, you're not going to see a second contract. Most guys won't see a second contract because of the value of the position. So I, like, the fifth year option, that's a stupid argument.
It is a stupid argument. The argument that, remember, he used it, well, you know, you go draft Lamar Jackson because you get back into the first round, you get the fifth year option. Show of hands. Show of hands, please, out there. What's the likelihood that Lamar Jackson sees the fifth year of his contract?
There's only one scenario that would produce that. He gets hurt.
Okay.
And he's hurt for a significant amount of time.
Right.
Like a devastating type of injury. Like a Teddy Bridgewater injury.
Okay.
Where he has a couple of years of rehab before he can get back to play.
Okay, fine. That's it. Okay.
There's no way he's going into the fifth year. They're going, we're not sure.
Right.
They've already made their commitment.
So, do the Broncos have the luxury of a fifth year with Drew Locke? No, they do not. Will they know well before the fifth year whether or not they've got their guy?
Uh-huh.
Or whether or not they have to move on to another direction? Of course.
Right.
Of course. So, don't understand that. That is a hill he is determined to die on. He is determined to die on that fifth-year option hill. Just like he's determined to die on the, well, if they don't talk to him, they're not going to draft him hill.
Right. I mean, think about this. Garrett Bowles.
Right.
I put all my arms and legs into and let him trust.
Thank you.
You think he's hitting his fifth year?
No.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you, but they're not going to sign him to a long-term deal before. So he's either going to play in that fifth year, right? Or they're going to release him. But the bottom line is the fifth year option is guys who haven't produced that you're like, well, at least we got him for another year. We've drafted him the first round. Hopefully the light goes off and they figure it out. Come on. Yeah. I mean, Jameis Winston went into his fifth year and went 30 for 30. If that doesn't tell you,
he didn't have great eyes.
You're right, though. He didn't have great eyes. They had to have LASIK.
Let's call the fifth year option the officer and a gentleman option.
Right.
Because
that's great. It's great.
If you get to the fifth year with your quarterback that you drafted in the first round,
right,
you've got nowhere else to go.
You know what we'll call the fifth year option? I like that. Officer Mayo. We'll call DMAC Officer Mayo.
Got nowhere else to turn.
You got nowhere else to go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, come on. If you need 5 years to figure out whether or not you have the answer at quarterback,
right,
guess what? You probably don't have.
You don't have the answer at quarterback, right?
Right.
You're right. You're right.
Now, hey, I'll tell you, you want to really convince me that the fifth year option matters,
mm-hmm,
then the Kansas City Chiefs play absolute hardball with Patrick Mahomes for the next 2 years, which they can do, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about keeping your salary structure in place so that you can continue to pay everybody and continue to keep yourself in that theoretical Super Bowl window. You play financial hardball
with
Patrick Mahomes because you could do that for the next 2 years, you know.
Next 2 years, and then you could franchise him after that.
Yeah.
You know, the Kirk Cousins role.
Sure.
Franchise him for a couple years in a row.
Yep.
You certainly could do that. Ain't going to happen. You're going to pay him $40 million a year. You just sign some 9-year, 10-year contract, something. It's going to be something big. And it probably won't be the last one he signs because after about 5 or 6 years, they're probably going to rip it up and redo it.
This has got to be DMAC, like texting under a burner account, like Kevin Garnett, or not Kevin Garnett, Kevin Durant, excuse me.
DMAC said it best. It's not that the rookies see the fifth year. It's that you don't have to negotiate until year 4 as opposed to year 3.
Again, if you know you got the guy, you're not going to wait that long. I mean, I'll tell you what, there are some teams that should use the luxury of the fifth year option, wait a little bit longer before jumping into a contract like the Rams did with Jared Goff. I mean, that's looking more and more like that was too quick. But come on.
My point is this. If you find your guy and you negotiate early, you're basically negotiating against yourself in some respect because you still own those 2 years. So what you're saying is, hey, listen, I'm going to take these 2 years away. We're going to wipe this, which we could make you play under. So we're going to actually give you a ton of money, but you're going to give a little bit in return to help us manage our cap. So there's this, as a player, you know, like upfront money is king, right? Guaranteed money is king. That stuff they can't take away from you because these are year-to-year contracts. I mean, they're year-to-year contracts except for the guaranteed upfront money you get. And you know every time you put on a football uniform could be the last time you put on a football uniform. So the bottom line to me is, hey, I'll give you some back end. I'll give you a little bit of a home down discount if you're going to wipe these 2 years off the slate and give me a long-term deal. That's the advantage of it.
D-Max trying to come after me on Twitter. Why don't the Chiefs give Mahomes a new deal right now? They probably will.
Yeah. They're actually working on a new deal right now.
I will respond. What is the likelihood that Patrick Mahomes sees his fifth year option with the Kansas City Chiefs? D-Max, I'll throw that back at you. What are the odds? What are the odds that he gets a deal done before his fifth year option versus the likelihood that he goes to his fifth year option?
You know what I would bet? I would bet that Patrick Mahomes gets a deal done before before the start of this coming season.
I would agree with that. Which would be season before, number four.
Yeah, sometime before training camp. In just after his third year here.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.